Well, we're back in our Easter series leading up to the best weekend of the year, where we remember specifically that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose again from the dead. And today we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at what the resurrection actually means and what life would be like if that were not true. And we're going to continue where we left off last time, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12. We're looking at that section from verse 12 to 34, mainly at verse 20, that phrase, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." But we'll read from verse 12 through to the end of the chapter. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. If you've got a Bible at home, why don't you read along with me? "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. And to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. But there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Amen. Isn't that incredible? We're going to go back to that first chunk that we just read, and we're asking a really important question over the course of this series, the question we ask every time we approach the Bible. The most important question you could ever ask: who is Jesus Christ? I mean, he's changed the world. Surely it's worth asking, who is he? And in the Bible, the most simple way that he's presented to us is that he is the one who died and rose again. We're told earlier on in this chapter that Christ died for our sins. That because I'm a sinner, I should be punished and I should die forever. But that Jesus Christ, who'd done nothing wrong, took my sin on himself and was punished and died for me. And so I need not be punished. And you know, that offer goes out to you this morning already. That Jesus Christ has died for sin. And you don't need to carry your own sin and the punishment for it anymore. But that message in and of itself is not the Christian message. Because this Jesus Christ we're speaking about, he's not dead anymore. He rose from the dead. And it's vitally important that we remember that. To remember that we are not just people of the cross. Christians are resurrection people. It's a concern that this could be forgotten. It's quite common to hear sermons where the resurrection is not mentioned. Quite often we see Christians living their lives as if the resurrection weren't true. Living hopeless lives as if this is it. Living powerless lives, as if sin has control over them. Living, quite frankly, as if Jesus was still dead. That his death on the cross is like a get-out-of-jail-free card. We love that. It deals with our sin. But we just treat him as if he's still dead and as if there's no life-giving power there. Well, the Christian message is that Jesus died. But he's not dead anymore. And so, as you listen to this, you can know him. Not just know about him from history, not just learn some interesting facts about a man who once lived and died. You can know him. He lives. Now, this letter was written in part to some who wanted Christianity without the resurrection, because they just considered it too weird. Dead people don't stop being dead, do they? They claimed to be Christians, but that they disagreed on this one small issue of the resurrection. But the problem is that it's not a small issue, that everything depends on it. If you deny that the dead are raised, then you deny that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And if you deny that he's been raised from the dead, everything is pointless. And some people today deny the resurrection. People will mock the idea. Even so-called church leaders sometimes will deny the resurrection because it's just too weird and it'll put people off. But even we, who in theory would say that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, can deny it in practice. We can be drawn to a Christianity without anything supernatural. A merely rational, pragmatic Christianity, logical, where we don't expect God to work in extraordinary ways. There's no shame in saying here, our God is a supernatural God, a God who does things that you wouldn't expect. You see, this is not an optional extra, because Christianity is about resurrection. It's not about making the most of this life because it's all you've got and just doing your best. It's not about dying and going to heaven, full stop. Christianity is about resurrection, about life from the dead. That yes, we live this life to honour God. Yes, we may die. And those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will immediately go and be with him. But that's not the end. The end is a great resurrection when life is given to the dead and they live forever. And so, churches that make nothing of the resurrection are not Christian churches. Sermons that make nothing of the resurrection are not Christian sermons. Because Christianity is about resurrection. That's not to deny the death of Christ. He must have died in order to rise from the dead, but you don't separate the two. Jesus died and rose again. Christianity is about resurrection because it centers around Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. You know, without the resurrection, as we'll see as we unpack this a bit more, there is no gospel, there is no Christian message, there is no hope. And so quite simply what I want to do, I want to think about what happened on that morning. And then see what it would be like if that hadn't happened. But then focus on the fact that it has happened. So what happened? Well, what happened is Jesus died. He was punished for sins that were not his own. And many people saw him die. And the centurion, the Roman guard who put him to death, confirmed that he'd died. Now, this was a professional executioner. He knew what he was saying. It'd be terribly embarrassing for him if Jesus weren't actually dead. And so Jesus died. And he was buried. He was laid out in a tomb or a cave, and that tomb was sealed, and they put a guard around it, and we're told that they made it as secure as possible. That is, Jesus Christ is dead, proper dead. All hope is lost. One day They saw him as the saviour of the world, the one they put all their trust in, but now all hope is lost because all they've got is a corpse in a cave. And the next day, he's still dead. But on the third day, very early in the morning, before the sun had risen, a group of women approached the tomb to embalm his corpse with perfume to stop his stinking. And as they walk along, they start to think, and then they start to say to each other, what's the point? When we get there, we won't even be able to move that big stone out of the way. What's the point? But as they walk along, the sun begins to rise, and they look up. And they see that the stone has already been moved out of the way. And so, quite nervously, they approach, and they go into the tomb, and they find no body. But there's a man there with a message for them. An angel who says, why do you look for the living among the dead? You're looking for Jesus. Well, you're not going to find him here. This is where we keep the dead people. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And Jesus then appeared to many people. In fact, at one point he appeared to over 500 people at one time, and they can't all have been making it up. There were many living eyewitnesses who could say, we saw him die, but then we saw him alive. So it seems reliable that Jesus Christ died and rose again. But what would it be like if that hadn't happened? There's four things I want to draw out with that passage we read earlier. Firstly, if Christ is not raised from the dead, verse 14, our preaching is empty and pointless, both from a pulpit or through a screen, or even in your personal witness with your friends, as you speak of Jesus Christ. If he's not raised from the dead, our preaching, our message is empty and pointless, because the message itself is pointless. The message becomes, there's an influential man. He did a lot of good, he drew a lot of attention, and then he died. Do you know, everyone in the world has got someone like that. He's interesting, perhaps even inspiring, but he's dead, so he can't change my life. This glorious gospel message becomes a message of defeat, that Jesus Christ caused a big stir, and then he was killed, and he stayed dead, and he lost. In fact, it would be cruel to persuade people of a message like that. Such a hopeless message. Because the message is quite simply, you're a sinner. Because of that, you're going to die. And that's it. Do you know, if that were true, personally, I'd rather not know. If Christ is not raised, our preaching is pointless. And if Christ is not raised, then verse 15, we can't trust anything. You can't trust preachers who claim that Jesus rose from the dead, if he didn't rise from the dead. But it's not just preachers who claim that Jesus rose from the dead. God himself claims that Jesus rose from the dead. We saw earlier on in this chapter that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. That is, God said it. And we can't trust Jesus if he's not risen from the dead. Remember the angel said, he's risen just as he said. You see, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then you can't trust anyone. You can't even trust God. Never mind anyone else. And thirdly, verse 18, Christians who die are lost forever if Christ is not raised from the dead. And so the personal tragedy of standing by a graveside and the hopeless feeling you have there That's it. And on a bigger scale than just our personal tragedies, on a global scale, that means death gets the last word. That we live in a world where death reigns. Death is the boss. Maybe we might have hope in this life, whatever that looks like, but then nothing if Christ is not raised from the dead. And then fourthly, and this really will hit home if you're a Christian, if Christ is not raised from the dead, verse 17, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. You see, we preach the cross, and we love to preach the cross, and rightly so. God forbid that we should glory in anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach the cross where Christ died for our sins. But what this verse tells us is, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then the cross was pointless. It was a failure. It was a waste of time. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ fought with all the powers of darkness, sin and death and hell. If he stays dead, that means they won, and that they still rule, and that they still have authority over all of our lives. In fact, it means they have authority over Jesus Christ himself, because it would mean, if he's still dead, that he is condemned eternally. And so, eternally, my sin would be a problem. It wouldn't have been dealt with. Jesus would have failed to save me if there weren't a resurrection. These are so extreme things to say that if it weren't in the Bible, you'd think it were wrong. That the cross would be pointless if Jesus Christ were not risen from the dead. Your faith would be futile. You'd be still in your sins. And so it's summarized as saying, if we were to trust in a dead Christ, then we are, of all people, most to be pitied. Pathetic. Hopeless. Deluded. Misguided. Saddos. Who also happen to be condemned for all eternity. What a grim situation we would be in if Christ had not risen from the dead. So look with me at verse 20. You see how horrible it would be if Christ were not raised, if he were still dead, how terrible this life would be, how hopeless and pointless the Christian life would be. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Do you see why the resurrection matters? Why it's not an additional add-on that you can take it or leave it? This matters. Without the resurrection, the Christian life is horrible. It's grim, it's pointless, it's hopeless. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And so all those horrible things we just spoke about, they are not true. Because the risen Christ shines in glory over it all and chases all that darkness away. And so those four things we highlighted, the opposite is now true. If Christ is not raised, then our preaching is pointless. But Christ is raised from the dead, and so proclaiming the gospel is worthwhile. It's the most worthwhile thing you could ever give your life to. In fact, it's vital. Because our dying world must hear of a living, risen Saviour. Only he can help. And you know, if you're listening in to this and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, you just know you're a sinner, you know you're in trouble with God, you know you're headed for death and you've got no hope beyond it. He can help you. He lives today. And he's willing to share that life with you. Ask him. And it means that this risen Christ, he is a glorious Saviour. Let me put it in other words. He's worth talking about. Christian, if you don't know what to talk about with other Christians or with those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, just tell them about Jesus. Jesus who came, who died, who rose again. He's a glorious Saviour, worth proclaiming. And secondly, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we can't trust anything. But Christ is risen from the dead, and so God can and must be trusted. God is not a liar. He did what he said he would do. He promised that he would raise his son from the dead. He said in the Old Testament that he would not let his Holy One see corruption or abandon him to the grave. And he raised him from the dead. He did what he said he'd do. And so you can trust him with anything. Do you know, just a side note. Read what God says and take him at his word. Are you afraid of disapproval? Do you think, I could never come to God with that because people don't like me when they find out that part of my life. And I don't even like myself when I realize it. I can't bring it to God. He'd never accept me. Do you know, Jesus Christ once said, those who come to me, I will never drive away. Take him at his word. Perhaps you feel overwhelmed at the moment by circumstances. You can't cope. Perhaps most of all, the weight of your own guilt is upon you. You can't cope with it. It's weighing you down. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, all you are worn out and stressed out and fed up and had enough and can't cope anymore and just feel the weight of your own sin, come to me, says Jesus Christ. I will give you rest. Hear what he says and take him at his word. Trust him more than you even trust yourself. I wonder, what do you say about yourself? I'm a failure. I'm a waste of space. God could never love me. I'm hopeless. Ah, but God says of you, I've loved you from before this world began. I have sent my son to save you. By trusting in him, you can be made completely and utterly righteous in my sight. I can look on you and be pleased with you and smile upon you. Trust him more than you trust yourself. And then thirdly, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then Christians who die are lost forever. But Christ is risen from the dead, and so we know that the dead in Christ will rise, and we will all be changed. Christians gone ahead of us, they will rise from their graves when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And all who are left, all of us who are left, believers, when the Lord Jesus returns, will be given new bodies which can never die. And more than that, not only personally will we enjoy that, and we really will. More than that, globally that means death doesn't get the last word anymore. Jesus does. Do you love that verse that comes up later on when the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, returning in victory and glory, he chants over death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, what have you got? Because he reigns over it all. Death doesn't get the last word anymore. Jesus does. And then fourthly and finally, if Christ is not raised from the dead, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, but Christ is risen from the dead. And so your faith in him is not in vain. It's not futile. Trusting in the Christ who died and rose again, your sin is dealt with. Christian, if you trust in this Lord Jesus Christ, who today is alive, your sin has been dealt with. You have been made right with God. You can sing, my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. But you know, it goes a step further. I bear it no more. And Christ bears it no more, because he bore it all the way to the grave. And then he left it there as he rose again in victory. Jesus rose. He conquered. Sin is defeated. And Jesus reigns. As you listen to this, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again? Do you realize how much you need him? Do you believe it to be true that he came and died and rose? If you do, you must put your trust in him and ask him to save you. And even now, all your sin can be dealt with forever. But Christian, not only has your sin been dealt with because of the resurrection, your sin is being dealt with because of the resurrection. The same power that is at work in raising Christ from the dead is now at work in you. You're not only forgiven of your sin, but you're empowered by God's Spirit with the same power that brought Christ out of that grave in order to live for him. And not only has it been dealt with and is it being dealt with, but because of the resurrection, your sin will be dealt with when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and we, in resurrection glory, made completely new, we will be free from sin forever. Do you know, on that day, I won't even want to sin. because with all that I am, body, mind, heart, soul, all made new, I will delight in the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And so, if Christ is not raised, then we're wasting our time with all this. God can't be trusted. Death is the end and we are condemned. What a grim world to live in. How hopeless would that be? But Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah.